This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Tom and Mikey on Joy.
We've got the amazing Fiona Patton in the studio with us to talk politics.
Good morning, boys.
Good morning.
You are doing so well on your own.
Thank you.
Unsupervised.
I know. We like to
have kids. Cereal's not everywhere. Yeah.
We've still got our clothes on.
You've still got your clothes.
We're doing really well.
Well, most of them anyway. Most of them.
You've got an update for us with the Lord's Prayer. Because we talked about that last time. Does that have any place in Parliament? What's the dealio?
Well, this is fantastic because I think you, me and the majority of Australians don't think that the Lord's Prayer has a place in a modern Victorian Parliament.
It just doesn't make any sense at all, does it?
I mean, No. And we, you know, as we were saying last time, I mean, Victoria is such a multicultural state that, yeah, to kind of just have a Christian club up there doesn't seem quite right. So anyway, the government has agreed. We've sent it. It's off to a committee. And we will be looking for an alternative. Whether my preference would be that we had a moment of wonderful silence in the chamber.
There'd be a change in there, wouldn't it?
That's right, where we reflected on why we were there, the privilege of being there, and what we were going to do for the electorate that day. Or other people are talking about kind of a rotating pledge or a rotating prayer to represent all of the multitude.
That's not a bad idea, because I remember being president of the PNC in a public school and we used to have the Christians would come and I actually organised and I said, I think all children should have to learn about all religions so we understand everyone. So we used to get somebody different in from an Indigenous person. Mm-hmm. One fortnight would come in and talk about their religion, which had a lot to do with dream time and the way they went through, all the way through to the Christians that wanted
Everyone
to come.
Everyone had a go.
But maybe it's me being very anti-religion and the more things that happen, shouldn't you guys be, you know, dedicating that you're here to do the best for your electorate? I mean, I know that's why you go into there, but every day when you stand up, that should be the first thing you say. We're not praying to some God that we don't see. You should be saying, I'm here to represent the people and I'm going to do the best and honest that I can do.
I totally agree with you.
The old swear to your allegiance.
It's sort of like that American swearing allegiance. But yeah, I do, you know, we should pledge to do the best that we can for the people that we represent and do it in an honest, accountable, transparent way. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we'll spend the next few months discussing that. And look, the thing about a minute silence is if people want to pray, by all means, pray.
Yeah.
And if you don't, or if you want to pray to whatever God that you believe in, do. And if you don't...
I'd pray to Kylie Minogue.
Of course.
Kylie, please lead me through this day. Bring joy and glitter to my life.
Give me a bit of locomotion. Look, I want to know what... Because religion's widely based on respect, right?
Mm.
But then you look at Parliament, you look at videos in Parliament, people booing and yelling at each other, and there's no respect there.
And it's funny, because a number of Christians that I spoke to were actually just really surprised that we said the Lord's Prayer before work. And I think I don't know many other workplaces where you say, you recite a prayer together before you start work. But a number of Christians made that exact same point. This is such a disrespectful place. How could you say the Lord's Prayer before you then go into this sort of battle, as it were?
It's barbaric at times.
Yeah.
I want to dive into the election campaign spending cap. Mm.
It's insane the amount of money that gets spent, and we've even just had the federal governments come out and justify the amount of millions that he's going to spend on two ads.
That's right. I mean, Josh Frydenberg, who has the safest seat in Australia, is estimated to spend $1 million. And... you know, goodness knows how much the Greens are going to spend in Kooyong, how much Labor's going to spend, and
how much Clive Palmer spent.
Yeah, Oliver Yates. Yeah, I don't know how much Clive Palmer spent, but it's just crazy. And when everyone keeps saying, we've got to fix donations, it's like, it's the spending, stupid. If you could actually cap the spending, the money wouldn't have so much influence because you wouldn't be able to use it, so you wouldn't raise it. And then you wouldn't have these, you know, hoteliers or... as we've been watching unfold on television, the gun lobby, you know, people calling for money from the gun lobby.
Yeah, really questionable.
Well, the only lucky
money
thing we've got now is you cannot take public donations from overseas.
Yes, that's right. And that's throughout. Victoria did that last year as well. So that's throughout Australia. However, you know, if you still want to raise hundreds of millions of dollars to run a federal campaign, I reckon you've got to make a couple of promises. You've got to promise a few favours, and whether that's the gambling industry or, you know, maybe not the NRA, but the gun lobby in Australia or whatever that influential
well,
and
in
rich
religions, we get that in this country a lot too. They spend a lot of money, which is kind of annoys me a little bit. If you don't pay
tax-free money.
Tax-free money that they're spending on their agenda.
Yep.
Which is not correct.
No, and we see them putting out, you know, letters into electorate saying if you vote for such and such a person, you know, hell and damnation will come upon you. But words to that effect, I'm probably, you know, shorthanding. But yes, exactly. And I think, but what we've suggested, and I actually got an amendment up last year that won't come into place until 2022. So is that we do start capping the amount that people can spend on elections. And I think they do it in Canada, they do it in England, they do it, you know, New Zealand, they do it in lots of places around the world, and it makes a lot more sense rather than seeing, you know, the ugly mugs of politicians on every billboard as you drive into the city, on every single sign, on every single ad break. I mean, no doubt Joy's going to have a few coming up when they call the election.
Well, I'm quite sure we will. I mean, I do know that the opposition leader, Bill Shorten, has agreed that he'll come back after he came in for our Joy Celebration Day, which is really good. And so we will been asking. Yeah. We've asked the Liberals. We've also had no response from them, but that's what we got in the state election as well. I can't imagine Scott, you know, ScoMo wanted to come in here and talk to us, but...
Well, he doesn't know what he's missing, really. No. He does not know what he's missing.
On a Thursday morning.
But I do think it's worth thinking about. If you want to stop the effect of money, then stop the spending so people don't need to raise $100 million to compete, because it's like an arms race out there now.
Speaking of the arms race, like, who was it that was trying to undercut the or undermine the policies we have with the gun laws? Who was that? Was it Pauline?
Well, it wasn't One Nation over there, but it wasn't that. I mean, that was very angry. And the senator over there, who 8 times during the undercover said about how great America was and I'd like to be an American, and he said that multiple times undercover. And I think, well, mate, get back to America. But regardless, but it was a whole NRA saying, we look and think, well, if he's not pro-guns, we'll then put our money in that area and make sure they get removed and put somebody in we want. And it scared the hell. And I thought, are we that stupid? It must be happening in this country.
Not for the
gun lobby, but anybody
else. I think, look at Victoria. The gun lobby put a lot of money into the state election. Now, we actually have 3 MPs now in the parliament who are absolutely pro-guns and would like to change the gun laws here. So their money is having an effect. And I think I don't know if it was Victoria or Australia, but the gun lobby has already spent in the last 12 months $1.9 million.
Wow. It's not stopping guns. I've lived on a farm and somebody who lives out there who raises cattle, there's nothing wrong with having a gun locked in a cabinet in a proper gun safe the back of your ute. That is part of farming and that's what you need. But the guy that lives down in, you know, Toorak somewhere doesn't need a semi-automatic rifle.
Well, they're talking about they want guns for self-defence, and I can tell you now that, I know as a woman that we know that the women who own guns are more likely to be killed by gun.
Look, we need to talk about one other thing, because the introduction of the drug driving laws, which we need to have a look at. But then I was reading that no matter what we do as a state, even if we go and decriminalise, marijuana, if it's not done federally, the federal police still can come in and override a state rule. Now, I was reading this up the other day.
I know. This is particularly in regards to the ACT, which sits in a different place
because
to
a
state.
Because
they're a territory.
All right, okay. So, yeah.
But what with the drug driving laws, I mean, we have legalised medicinal cannabis, so people can get a prescription for medicinal cannabis to help them with their nausea, help them with their cancer, help them with pain, epilepsy.
It goes on,
whatever.
Yeah.
However, unfortunately, we've got that, but you can't drive.
No.
Now, it doesn't matter even if you, like, you had a bit of cannabis oil the night before to help you sleep instead of a Valium or instead of another drug. You now are not allowed to drive the next day. Now, I think that's crazy because people who really could benefit from medicinal cannabis are not, because they're saying, well, I've got to take the kids to school in the morning. I can't. So I'm going to stick to the Valium because I can drive if I'm taking Valium. I can't drive.
And the cannabis can stay in your system for,
and that's right.
for days.
Yeah, so you're not impaired, but medicinal cannabis should be treated as any, like any other medication.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're impaired, then don't drive.
Okay.
But if you're not impaired, then you should be allowed to take it.
Okay.
You don't realise that, you know, great, you look at little laws like that to check. But then it just affects every other chain. So, I mean, there at Parliament, you don't, you know, it's easy to make a law or to put an amendment through or try and change something, but it has an effect that goes all
absolutely.
The way
on. Yeah, and course. So many doctors tell me that patients who would benefit from medicinal cannabis, and it's very low THC, will not take it because they have to warn them that they can never drive.
And then be nothing.
Yeah, they can drive on Oxycontins or Valiums.
Yeah. Right. You don't want to be a mother.
You want to talk about this for hours. And then, Fiona, I really want to thank you for coming in as well.
Thank you. So nice to see you guys.
Now, you'll be back here in about a month's time.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, where can we find you to keep up to date?
FionaPatton.com.au.
Perfect.
Fiona, we'll see you next month.
Thank you so much.
Wake up with Tom and Mikey, Thursdays for breakfast on Joy. Tune in to 94.9 in Melbourne. Stream live at joy.org.au or download the Joy app. Find all our podcasts at tomandmikey.com. Subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get podcasts. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.